everyone. I am Shavonna Johnson, CEO and founder of All About Us Global Media Productions Group, TV, radio, and magazine, CEO of the Whitney E. Johnson Foundation, Incorporated. We are a 501c3 organization on a mission to educate, engage, and mentor our parents and teens in communities on current issues surrounding our youth. Today, we are asking for your support to continue providing our informative programming through our various media platforms. To make a donation, visit the Whitney E. Johnson site at www.wejfoundation.org, or you can reach us at 631-521-7699 for more information. And as a reminder, all donations given are tax deductible. On behalf of the Whitney E. Johnson Foundation, we thank you for listening and your support.
Greetings and hello. My name is Dr. Renee Charles. I am a neuro coach, a mind and brain ambassador, and author of the new book release, Remembering the Trauma and Healing It, with the Trauma of Change System Model, which leverages neuroscience and spirituality for trauma healing, deliverance, and recovery. I want to welcome you to my new show, Real Talk with Dr. Renee, where we'll have an authentic dialogue about all things related to the mind, body, and brain connection. During our time together, we'll talk about how to maximize brain potential in your personal and corporate space, develop new mental maps and success strategies to overcome traumas and other life's challenges we face every day. I do look forward to talking with you and taking your calls and answering some of the questions as we do life together live on this show. Listen, you may be on the road driving home, sitting at your computer, or on your way to the gym when Real Brain Talk airs. I want you to pace yourself and get in position to optimize your brain. Join me on All About Us Radio on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And follow me on my social media outlets. At Twitter, it's at Dr. Renee Charles. Instagram is Dr. Renee_Charles. And Facebook is simply at Dr. RDC PhD. You are listening to All About Us Radio. Well, hello, and welcome to the live broadcast of Real Brain Talk with Dr. Renee, where we engage in a dialogue about neuroscience and all things related to the body, mind, and brain connection. Happy June 13th week, where we will be celebrating our freedom again. You know, neuroscience is the study of the brain and the nervous system, its functions, and how it works when we engage in tasks. Our aim during this podcast is to help our listening audience become familiar with how to build a resilient mind to optimize your brain potential. You know, the human mind is the gold star of creation, and that the mind uses the brain to create itself. Incredible. The mind is a limited, invisible spiritual source that regulates the flow of information and energy within the brain. The brain, on the other hand, is just a 3-pound organ comprised of an incredible electrical wiring system. You can touch the brain, you can feel the brain, you can see the brain once it has been taken out of your skull. But the mind, you can't touch, you can't feel, and you can't see it, invisible. And so our intention is to help you understand the dynamic difference between the two. You know, intentions do matter, And my intention today is to add value to the listening audience, who will in turn add value to others via the exchange of information obtained today. You know, information can be powerful. It can be both empowering, revelatory, and transformative. I have this mantra that says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. Well, today's topic, we will continue to talk about trauma, but we're going to take a little short diversion from the impact of trauma on the brain and the electrical wiring system, but we're going to focus on implicit bias and how it contributes to the acts of violence, racism, prejudice, stereotyping, and overall injustice. So before we go too deep into the topic, we want to take a brief music station break to listen to a song that I believe will set the tone for our discussion today. And that song is entitled Wake Up, Everybody by Teddy Pendergrass. Listen, learn.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and catch all the hair.
And we are back. Wake up, everybody. We have to keep our eyes focused and woke. You are listening to Real Brain Talk with Dr. Renee. We welcome your comments and your questions. Let's do life together live on All About Us Radio. Call us at 516-666-8424. If you are calling from your phone, press option 1. If you have a question or you'd like to share a comment on this topic. If you are dialing in on through your computer, just raise your hand and post a question in the chat room. I look forward to your questions and your comments. So let's get right into the content of implicit bias, which is also known as implicit social cognition, which refers to the attitudes or conscious stereotypes that affect our understanding, our actions, and decisions in a very unconscious way. If you have joined me previously, you would have remembered that we have 70,000 to 100,000 thoughts per day. Of the 100,000 thoughts, only 5% of those thoughts remain conscious. the remaining 95% of those thoughts become subconscious. So, you know, there are actions that happen that are not conscious, that you are not consciously aware of, that you are doing in implicit bias. So these stereotypes about people, about worldview can, you know, have you feeling and believing that people of different ethnicities, age, appearance, and race is beneath you or dangerous to you. Implicit bias operates at the subconscious level and runs contrary to our stated beliefs and attitudes. These biases are not accessible through introspection. These biases are triggered automatically through the rapid association between people, group, objects, and your attitudes that you have towards them. Very much when we talk about trauma, that certain situations can trigger a remembrance of a catastrophic trauma event in your life. Well, these biases are also triggered about people. So they actually operate almost entirely on an unconscious level, while explicit bias and prejudice are intentional. They can be controlled, and implicit biases are less, a little less than unconscious bias. So let's get it straight. You have unconscious biases that you have no clue that you have until it becomes conscious, and then you have conscious biases about people's size, their color, their ethnicity, their talk, their the way they wear their clothes, their hair. That's very conscious, and you make a conscious decision about expressing how much you don't like it. You know, psychologist Carl Jung said, and I quote, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life." So we're talking about implicit bias, which occurs because the brain's natural tendency is to look for patterns and associations in the world. Why? Why does the brain look for patterns? Well, the brain doesn't really like new things. The brain is a goal-oriented machine that likes to take the same route of understanding and interpreting things, which is an easy pathway. So stereotype is a very easy pathway of making a quick decision about someone, even if you don't know them, based on their skin color, their height, their weight, their eye color, the way they dress. And so stereotyping is a natural response of the human brain. So the brain seeks to seek out patterns. An implicit bias occurs because the brain's natural tendency is to look for patterns. Okay, the brain likes to take shortcuts. Like other cognitive biases, the implicit bias is a result of conditioning. And so if you constantly see a black person on media, which I call media racism, as soon as you turn the television on, you see a black person being arrested or raping someone or busting into a store or something that is illegal, and you constantly see that every time you turn on the television, your brain develops a pattern of that image. And then when you see black people walking down the street, that also triggers that image because you've been conditioned to see it that way. And so when we talk about implicit bias and police shooting, because this is what's going on across the world, there's been 4 hangings, lynchings, which we thought could never happen again, but it's happening. So as you can remember, it's no way that George Floyd died in Minneapolis. in police custody. A video of the officers kneeling on his neck went viral. And Floyd could be heard saying, "I can't breathe." As four law enforcement officers stood and heard George cry out, "I can't breathe." For 8 minutes, I believe 8 minutes and 26 seconds. You know, this, oh my God, this explicit display of bias, implicit bias, really gives a great example of what is happening in the brain of the individual who is making split decisions about a person's value or worth. You know, police are subject to the same biases that we all carry. Now, we all have biases. We may have biases against same-sex marriages. We may have a bias about people who don't speak the English. We may have a bias about tall people, short people, fat people, white people, black people, brown people. All of us have a level of bias. But research has shown that when primed to think about crime, police officers show a black and white face simultaneously will focus their gaze on the black face due to a stereotypical association between blackness and criminology. Well, where did they get that idea from? Blackness and criminology. This is an embedded thought and view of black people by the majority of policemen. Police also tend to rate black men as taller, heavier, and stronger than white men who are otherwise the same built, suggestion. Black men are seen as more dangerous than white men, prompting officers to be more willing to use force to subdue them. This is a brain thing. This is a condition thing. This is not only a racist thing, but this is a bias, unconscious bias thing. It has always been, since the time of slavery, a view about black men being overpowering, difficult to subdue, having all kinds of unfounded attributes about what black men are, from their sexual organs to their ability to endure pain to their ability to perform work. These are thought processes that have been embedded in one's mind, and I would say it's passed down in the DNA, because this is happening over 400 years ago, and it still has the same premier idea about a black man. So when the brain sees a black man, tall black man, heavy black man, strong black man, and their build is threatening, the brain moves into a self-protective mode. The amygdala, which is your emotional brain, and we've talked about this in past radio talk shows, goes correctly right into a fight or moment, stemming from the brainstem. You either fight or you flight. And so because of the officers having the power to enforce their authority with a gun and quickly shoot someone, this is implicit bias at its best. So every encounter police officers and community members have with each other, it really happens within a social, a large social context, and that shapes the response. You know, police are more easily to mistake an innocuous object for a gun when the object is held by a black person versus a white person. A phone could be transcribed to mean in the brain that phone is a gun when it's held in the hand of a black person. This is research. This is based on research on implicit bias. This is not something that I am talking about out of my emotions or some philosophy that I heard. This is evidence-based research. So while training may help combat some of these implicit biases, you know, it's very doubtful that you're going to just erase that those learned experiences that are harbored in the subconscious mind by just training someone. But we have to have hope that it can be overcome. I do recommend a book published by Jennifer L. Eckhart. She has written a book on bias, which is a powerful book. It's on Amazon, but she does talk about these details that I'm mentioning to you. So the presence of unconscious bias has now been validated through magnetic resonating imaging, an MRI, which is making the unconscious bias as an increasingly hot topic that is heightening awareness and contributing to progress in understanding and diminishing and even eliminating bias. You know, but we all are susceptible to bias because of the brain-mind interaction and dominance. So the brain, once again, seeks out patterns. Implicit bias, because of the brain's natural tendency to look for patterns associated in the world. The brain is a pattern-seeking machine. It looks for patterns. It doesn't particularly like things that don't fall in shape of patterns. This is one reason why addictions are so difficult to break. It's a pattern, okay? So social cognition, or our ability to store, process, and apply information about people in social situations, is dependent upon this ability to form associations by the world. So this is how we connect to each other. This is what we do when we form friendships, when we form relationships, we form connections. And we call these social cognitions, the way we think in social environments. You know, the brain likes to take shortcuts. Like other cognitive biases, the implicit bias is a result of the brain's tendency to try to simplify the world. You know, the word stereotype came from a word that was associated when you take a picture through the camera and you develop the film, because once you snapshot that picture, we don't do that no longer, but this is how it was. You take a picture and it quickly takes a snapshot of the object that you just framed, and then you develop it, and then it tells you, it gives you the picture of the person you just saw. Well, our brain is like that. We want to take a shot, snapshot. We want to know whether you are dangerous, a threat, or is it safe. And so sometimes, and most often than not, because we make these short snapshots about people based on previous conditions, we can make really erroneous decisions, and some decisions have led to death. So that's really difficult situation. So experience and social conditions play a role. And we know that implicit biases are influenced by experiences, although these attitudes may not be the result of direct personal experience. So it's really through cultural conditioning, media portrayals, and the upbringing can all contribute to the implicit association that people form about members of other groups. Hey, that was a mouthful. Let's take another break and listen to a song that I think that will help to set a tone. You know, how are we going to get through this? I'm not quite sure how we're going to get through this, but I love this song by Lauryn Hill, and it says, "Forgive them, Father." We'll be right back.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Although them again we will never, never, never trust. Them don't know what them do. They go to yai while I'm sticking like glue. Blinking green while I'm plotting for you.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lauren. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You are listening to Real Brain Talk with Dr. Renee. We welcome your comments and questions. Let's do life together live on All About Us Radio. Give me a call at 516-666-8424. We're talking about implicit and unconscious bias. You know, bias is a natural byproduct of the way our brains work. First, as babies, naturally, we learn to distinguish faces of people of our own racial groups better than faces of groups because their perceptions are shaped by what they see most. Similarly, our minds also categorize objects in our world, helping us to ignore or take for granted what's familiar and attend to what's novel. This capacity allows us to make sense of all the information coming through our five senses and to differentiate between what's safe and what's not safe. So we are self-categorizing human beings. We put it in a two files. Is it safe or is it not safe? And if I've been conditioned to say that when I see your face, your black face, or I see you as a homosexual individual, or I see you as a real fat person, or I see you in a certain context, and I've been socialized and conditioned to say that you are not safe, my brain is going to take that short path and make decisions that you are not safe. And when you feel unsafe, you respond in ways to sustain your life. So our experience in the world seeps into our brains over time. And without our awareness, they conspire to reshape the working of our mind. Now, if you have been following me for weeks, you know that there's a difference between the mind and the brain. The mind is not the brain, and the brain is not the mind. The brain is a 3-pound organ. It's pliable, it's manageable, that's shaped by the mind. So whatever message is sent to the brain takes the shape of the message. And we know that the mind is an endless source of supply of energy that creates thoughts. And from thoughts become feelings, although a feeling is not a thought and a thought is not a feeling. A thought creates a response in the brain, feels something. And when you feel something, you create a feeling, whether you're sad, depressed, happy, joyful, resistant, angry, then you take action based on what you feel. So that's how our experiences shape our brain. And the good news is that you can transform your mind by renewing it, by reshaping it, because it's just like silly putty. So whatsoever you think and whatsoever you say to your mind, you're sending the message to the brain that we should be afraid of that color. We should remember that black man is stronger than me, and therefore I need to apply deeper force. You can rechange and rewire your brain with the correct information, but know that all of us categorizes good or safe versus bad or unsafe, and we become familiar with that. When we couple that with social stigma around different groups of people, this tendency is the recipe for prejudice. Incredible. So here are a few characteristics of implicit bias. Implicit biases are pervasive. Everyone possesses them. Implicit biases and explicit biases are related, but they have distinctive mental constructs. They are not mutually exclusive, but they may reinforce each other. and the implicit association we hold do not necessarily align with our declared beliefs or even reflect stances that we would explicitly endorse. So generally, we tend to hold implicit biases that favors our own in-group. Through research has shown that we still can hold implicit biases against our own in-group. And I could say this about you in terms of the Caribbean cultural grouping. You have Jamaicans, you have Haitians, you have Trinidadians, who all have implicit biases about in their own subgroup. So these things we know do exist. And that's what we call the in-group. So there's an in-group and then there's an out-group. So it's important to understand that implicit bias is not the same thing as racism, although these two concepts are related, but they're not the same. Overt racism involves conscious prejudice against members of a particular race group. Not unconscious, you're very conscious about that and can be influenced by both explicit and implicit bias. Other forms of discrimination that can be affected by unconscious bias includes ageism, sexism, homophobia, and all types of different isms about people. Now, stereotypings, as I explained to you earlier, is a type of picture taking, a quick snapshot of what you see in that moment. And it leads to prejudice. It's based on limited, little contact with the stereotype group, typically reading an external report or receiving secondhand information. And this remains an issue for Blacks in the United States. And it leads to racial profiling. So in the context of a society that categorizes ethnic groups, the media presents Blacks as thugs, drug dealers, athletes, singers, and entertainers, which contributes to the public perception in a process that involves categorization, identification, social comparison. So, moreover, Blacks and the general public maintains this collective memory of Blacks as slaves, which results in a negative image of African Americans as being lower on the social ladder. Collective memory also constitutes the positioning of Blacks in the minds of the population concerning their own position in society. If you have been said and conditioned to believe you are nothing, you will never be nothing, you're not worthwhile, you are have lower IQ than someone else, you have no entitlement rights other than to be a slave, and this is repeated to you for decades, for centuries, one can begin to adopt that information. Remember, the brain is a pattern-seeking machine. So as children mature, they maintain these images, accounting for why generations pass before stereotypes are overcome. Think about yourself. Who am I? Am I really that? You know, there is some evidence that becoming aware of a bias can be reduced. And so I want to spend the last segment here talking about ways that maybe some of these biases could be reduced. Because research really does suggest recognizing the human traits are more manageable than fixed, that how people behave is somewhat dependent upon the environmental circumstances. I know you've all heard that, you know, I'm a product of my environment. So if we can shift the environment and move towards social justice as opposed to injustices, we may be able to start decreasing some of these stereotyping because the political arena contributes to it, the media racism, medical racism, all contributes to that. So you see right now, corporations are getting ready to have an aha moment. Some of it is a public relationship stunt. They're taking Aunt Jemima off the Aunt Jemima pancake box in the syrup, which has been on there for decades and decades and decades.
And it's saying the reason they're taking it off because they realize that it reflects a stereotype of Aunt Jemima still being a slave. This is Pepsi Cola as being the manufacturer of that. And now we see Uncle Remus being removed from the box of rice. And he's taking the form of taking that off because they don't want to no longer share that image. So every time you bought pancakes and you saw Aunt Jemima as a slave and you begin to make pancakes, eat pancakes, because pancakes are delicious, putting your favorite syrup on that, do you know unconsciously those images are embedded in your brain? You see the tearing down of statues that are reflective of times where slavery predominated in honoring these individuals who have played a huge role in maintaining a view of dominance and superiority. You know, the death of George Floyd has triggered a paradigm shift in the world. And unfortunately, there has been some collateral damage seen in the protests. But listen, the kingdom suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. There is a social revolution that is going on. So the strength of unconscious bias is that it can help us think and make decisions quickly. The downside of unconscious or implicit bias is that they are unconscious, and we do not know the extent of their impact on our thinking and decision making. What we don't think, you don't know what you don't know, that you don't know that you are thinking something that reflects an unconscious bias. Once we become aware of them, we have more choices over the influence of that. How can implicit and unconscious bias be addressed? You know, we can leverage implicit bias by increasing our emotional and cultural intelligence. I am certified in both emotional and cultural intelligence, and I will tell you that both levels of intelligence is more valuable and more important than cognitive intelligence, which we say IQ quotient. So emotional intelligence helps us to be more emotionally aware, self-aware of the conscious and unconscious biases that we have. And once we become aware of our biases, we can change. We can change and reduce the negative impact of our biases. Again, biases are shortcuts for the mind, which helps us to navigate complex social and emotional situations. It helps to support our thinking as our brain is bombarded with far more information than we can process. It can also interfere with our ability to properly process information because of previous experiences, shape, and biases that we have perceived situations. You know, emotional intelligence is the ability to identify and manage your own emotions and the emotions of others. It includes primarily three skills: having an emotional awareness, the ability to harness emotions and apply them to tasks like thinking and problem solving, and the ability to manage your emotions, which includes regulating your own emotions and cheering up or calming down other people. You know, being able to connect to your own emotions and having a moment-to-moment awareness of your emotions really can influence your thoughts and actions. It's the key to understanding yourself and remaining calm and focused in tense situations. You know, many people become disconnected from their emotions, especially during strong core emotional times, such as when you're angry, you're sad, or fear joy. This may be a result of negative childhood experiences that taught you to try to shut off your feelings. you know. But although we can distort, we can deny or numb our feelings, we cannot eliminate them. So that's a little bit about emotional intelligence. We talk about self-awareness, how you can recognize your own relationships, own feelings, and how they affect your thoughts and behavior, how to manage yourself, your ability to control your impulses, your feelings, and manage your emotions in healthy ways by taking the initiative to follow through on commitments and adapt to changing situations, and being socially aware. You can understand your emotional needs and concerns, not only of yourself, but of people, and pick up on emotional cues of people, you know, and recognize that the power dynamics in your group that you're dealing with. So understanding emotions is a big thing, and it has a lot to do even with how you manage your relationships. So research has proven that individuals with higher levels of social and emotional intelligence are happier. Okay, they're more productive and are better able to adapt to change. So cultural intelligence is akin to emotional intelligence, but it really focuses specifically on your ability to function effectively in situations characterized by cultural diversity. There are four components of that: the ability to define as the capacity to function across all cultural contexts. You know, understanding strategy, understanding the cultural similarities of differences, channeling attention towards other cultures, and with your behavior, verbal and nonverbal flexibility to fit the culture. You know, this is a very intense topic, understanding cultural bias, understanding implicit bias, unconscious bias, and some of the ways to manage those through applying cultural and emotional intelligence strategies to decrease the amount of cultural biases. We're going to take another music break to listen to our final music song. It's called A Quest for Peace by Benny Reed, and we'll be right back. Call me. I'm looking for you to call in and talk to me, and let's just do life together live on All About Us Radio. Call me at 516-666-8424. I'm happy to answer your questions or to hear your comments. I'll be right back. Yes, so I wanted to end with A Quest for Peace to kind of de-emphasize the energy surrounding implicit and unconscious bias. It is a pretty volatile feeling to deal with. And especially when we are constantly seeing the impact of someone's implicit and unconscious bias. We are now seeing hangings. We are seeing what we call a new group of aggressive women, which we have titled the Karens, who are coming out very vicious and aggressively. It's as if a leash was unleashed. Repressed subconscious thoughts have now become conscious, and there's an outbreak of slaughter against people of color. And so this is a really relevant topic for you to understand. I just wanted you to understand the brain chemistry behind that, because you are talking with Dr. Renee, the mind and brain ambassador. And this is my quest, this is my purpose, to help to enlighten you around how your mind, your brain, and body interface. And so that you can build a more resilient brain and a more resilient mind. And so this was the topic for today. But as we return to our regular scheduled topics, we've been doing a weekly review of my new book called Remembering the Trauma and Healing It with the Trauma of Change System Model, talking about trauma. And I do look forward to talking with you about trauma and any related issues, because everything you do is your brain is connected to it. There are no non-brain activities unless you are actually brain dead. So during future shows, we're going to continue to talk about remembering the trauma and healing with the trauma chain system model, which is a faith-based trauma recovery system available. The book is available right now on Amazon. Also, the companion workbook that helps you deal with trauma that you have repressed. And so I've developed a strategy for you to rewire your brain with the Word of God so that you can live a life of peace worthy of your position and seat in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So be sure to purchase the book and the workbook, and we'll spend some time going through some of the chapters related to shame, guilt, rejection, and really teach you how to rewire your brain through neuroplasticity, which is the ability to reshape your brain and shift yourself from being a victim of trauma to being a victorious warrior, taking up a position that allows you to maximize your potential to have a global impact in your community and in the world. You can visit my website at drreneecharles.com or email me at contact@drreneecharles. That's Dr. D-R, Renee, R-E-N-E-E, the letter D, Charles.com. That is my email. Visit my website at drreneecharles.com. There's a free gift for everyone who visits in the section on psychotherapy, mental health. There's a free downloadable PDF file that you can download, read. It's all about taking care of yourself. And if you need support in mental health counseling or just an ear, understanding the dynamic and identifying people who are culturally and linguistically appropriate and competent to help you navigate this very, very rough terrain that we are going through. Join me on All About Us Radio every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and follow me on some of my social media platforms. My Instagram handle is Dr_Renee_Charles. Twitter is at Dr. Renee Charles, and Facebook is at Dr. RDC PhD. I hope to have added value to you today and that you have at least one takeaway about the brain, and that the brain loves patterns. What patterns are you developing for your brain? Is it a pattern of successful mantras, or is it a pattern of defeatedness or fear? Decide. You can decide how you want to show up in life every day, either victorious or a victim. If there are no more questions, I'm going to say goodbye to you right now, and hopefully you will join me next week, same time, same place. You can also listen to a replay of this today right after we hang up, right after the show is over. You also can locate some of the podcasts on demand, also on my website. Just go to podcasts and you'll see some of the other shows that will kind of bring you up to speed, where we learn about the brain, where we know each component of the three aspects of the brain and how your brain contributes to everything that you do, especially developing relationships with people, also how your brain deals when you are traumatized, the disconnect of circuitry of that electrical wiring system that we talked about. When you are traumatized, that trauma breaks the circuitry in your brain. But the good news is that you can recover, and I'm here to help you do that. So God bless you, and have a wonderful week. Be safe, maintain your social distance, and be not confused or, about coming out of the ark too soon. Be safe. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Oh, right now. Right now.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Woo. Right on. Right on. Right.
Since it's all down here,
right on.